The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. A bit of a patriotic review as we do a small 9/11 remembrance. And speaking of government, can the requests of the government breach the consciousness of the believer? We're going to discuss that. And finally, we examine how honest an honest prayer can be.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. More. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. And keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation, prayer requests, praise reports, answering trivia, just talking. The whole reason is because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. For the first segment, I'm so used to doing a two-hour show. I'm sorry. First segment, we're not going to have any sponsors because we're going to do a small 9/11 remembrance because today, I believe, is the 18th year anniversary. I want to make sure I get that correct. Is that correct, Wonder Drew? It's the 18th year? I can't hear you. You got it.
That is true.
Okay, so it is the 18th year from that moment. And so I wanted to share just a little bit of what was going on. Now, I know, you know, most of us know, that when 9/11 took place in our lives, it had a much more dramatic impact, of course, on the people whose lives were lost. It affected the country, but it wasn't the 3,000 people that lost their lives and their relatives in that moment. We all kind of took the shock wave that came once it hit. I mean, it affected the markets and everything, but it was more of a shockwave that hit the country.
Oh, it was horrible.
It was a tremendous... Do you remember where you were? Do you remember what was going on?
I was anchoring the news, and I
told... When it happened?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes. And I lost it completely. Somebody else had to replace me. I drove home, cried all the way, and I needed to contact somebody in my family because things had stopped. It was like time stopped for me. I called my parents. They didn't answer. I called my brother and I said, did you see what's happening in New York City? And he's like, I did, but we're really late for a soccer game and I really got to go. I'm sorry. I can't talk to you right now. And so I said, okay. And he hung up. But that's when it all started moving for me again. It was like life does go forward.
Yeah, that's powerful. I did not know that happened to you. I'm glad I asked you that. And I do. There's a couple of things I do want to say because I want to talk about this, just this segment. So I mean, this I think it's fine. I think everybody can get over it. And we'll talk about certain elements, but I'll tell you what happened to me and my work-related connections. But I do want to say that the people who had that immediate impact, the people that were in the building, the people that were running into the building to save people's lives, the people whose lives were lost, take all the conspiracy theories you've ever heard, find a really nice toilet, flush it down, push the button, close the lid, and move on. Okay? This was horrible, horrible stuff from horrible, horrible people who, by the way, hate the God of the Bible, if you're kind of trying to figure that stuff out. Not even a question. Does that represent all the people on the planet? No. But it represents a large segment that is very anti-American, anti-Christian, than anti-Americans. It's not just the American way. It's the God we serve. And they do not like that. In fact, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for many people in their faith, that's offensive. It's like tough. So I do want to share, but I want to make sure that we recognize. And at the end of this segment, I'm going to pray just over, you know, our nation, if that's okay. And if you guys don't like it, there's a button there on your radio. You can change it. Okay. And, you know, that's kind of how that's going to go. So I'll tell you one thing that happened that was weird. Not that I'm connected to the supernatural. No. You know, I sit there and I teach and I get a chance to share with you. I have this stuff in front of me. It's stuff I've experienced and I love sharing it and I love encouraging people. But I am no better and probably far worse than most of you. But I also believe strongly in the grace and the mercy of God. Right? So on that day, on that morning of 9/11, normally at that point in my life, I was going in from, well, what's called Valley Center in California, Valley Center to Escondido. And I had got up and I have a pretty deep routine. And again, for those that don't know, I'm a devotional guy. I get up, I do my devotions first. I spend my time either praying and reading or reading and praying. I do a couple things in between, but the first 2 hours are pretty much cut out for God no matter what. And yeah, I've gotten up at 1:45 in the morning to make sure I got my devotions in for that morning. I mean, I've gotten up at 3 in the morning. We went to Hawaii on a trip one time. I had to get up at 3:15 to do my devotion. Don't care. Okay, that's first. So this day I got up on 9/11, we're in our house in Valley Center, and I did something I never do, which is the only spiritual connection at all. I turned the TV on, which is like kind of a weird thing for me to do. And right when I turned the TV on, that's when they were showing the towers. It was like all happening. I'm like, what is going on? And it probably took me, I'd have to say about 5 solid minutes to process what I was seeing. At first, you're just like, movie gone bad, something gone wrong, something not making sense. And that was not the case. And then as the day unfolded, obviously, it was more and more intense. And it was some weird stuff. I got a phone call from one of my partners. We had a business. And this is where it got a little weirder. And again, nothing for me, so I'm making sure nobody gets that wrong impression. But it got a little weird. So he calls me up and he goes, hey, what time are you coming in today? And I said, I'm not coming in today. I mean, I'd like to see if we're going to have a country in 24 hours. I don't know what's going on. This is when we weren't resolved on this stuff, right? And we were talking. I said, I think this is a day you just give everybody a pass and we'll just, you know, kind of get to it, you know, get to it when we get to it. Well, it turns out that I found out later that day from my partner that equity firm that was in one of the towers where all the people died, they were the ones that were funding our project. And they all perished. So an indirect consequence was that the company that we had folded because the funding got lost, and that was the end of it. That meant nothing because we were always trying to get funding. So that wasn't, you know, the horridness of that. And you would just never think, there I was in San Diego, that something in New York would have that impact on San Diego, something that they did. And then it begins to dawn on you that as a nation, we got a lot of problems, but there's a lot that we do that works together. And and the people that attacked us and attacked our way of life were attacking us and trying to disrupt. And initially, I thought once everybody got over the shock, I really did think that the patriotic position was fantastic initially, first 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. It just seemed like there were flags everywhere and everybody was supporting one another. And it's like, look, you know, you can yell at me all you want. You yell at my sister, I'm going to punch you in the eye kind of thing. But I can yell at my sister kind of mentality. Just like that mindset. It seemed like that was going on. Didn't last. I don't think it lasted 4 weeks. I think it lasted like 2.5 weeks. And then, boo, right down the, you know, then the accusations started to fly and it got really weird. Here's what I know. It changed the way everybody thought of things. It's fair to say that they did not stop our nation, and our nation is more prosperous than ever, and we're doing, as a nation, we're doing really well. But it did put a guard upon our minds and hearts, And I don't think that having that guard is a bad thing. I think it's a good thing to be aware because there is an enemy and he does have people that he uses to try and hurt and destroy people. So it's something to keep in mind. One thing I want to say that's important, and I know I've probably only got about 3 minutes or so or somewhere in that range.
We're still at about four.
Okay. I have a friend named Sam Rasool. Sam was a realtor friend of mine who was on the show with me back in San Diego. I'd mentioned this before. Sam was actually flying an airplane. Now, Sam was born and raised as a Muslim, okay? After 9/11, he became a Christian. He had a very interesting meeting with this guy named David Jeremiah and never got out of the office without becoming a Christian, which is, this testimony is superb. It's a fantastic testimony. But anyway, he said, you know, he had always had kind of a resentment towards some of the way that he was raised. There was so much anger in it. And when it happened, and he was a pilot flying, and he had his plane grounded and was exited, and there was, like, guns drawn. It was a big, big, big deal. But it's funny because he never held a moment of resentment. He thought it was the most appropriate thing he could think of because he loves America. And so he thought, this is right. This is what you do when people are doing what those people were doing. And people like Sam are – They're a blessing to our nation. They're not like the people that come and try and drain everything. And I mean, he's a big time real estate guy. It's just, you know, big time as in number five in Southern California with Keller Williams. Big guy, right? But his heart is right. His spirit is right. He became a Christian. We developed a relationship. He was on the show. Some people like that could be thought of in a negative context. No, that's the guy. That's the guy you want to be a part of what we're doing. Okay, so it's not just everybody. It's not just a blanket thing where you throw people in and you have this super negative spirit or negative attitude towards them. You had some people definitely demonic in their theology and demonic in their activity, and they won a skirmish, but they didn't win the war. They won a battle, but not the war. Keep that in mind. All right, I just want to pray over all of us just to keep in mind to be thoughtful, if that's okay, in regards to the 9/11, and not forget what took place. Father, we come before you right now, and what a impacting day that was on so many of us. Just hearing Wonder Julie's story just now, never heard it before, just tells you how devastating that was and how it affected people all over. But what we thank you for is recovering and moving forward and you granting grace and mercy to our country to give us a chance to keep going forward and follow you. There's a little bit of concern that some of our leaders are going off the deep end again. We don't want any kind of drastic activity like we had on 9/11, but we certainly pray that your wisdom would resonate with the leadership and they would stop walking in the flesh. That'd be nice. But Lord, most importantly, keep the people who were hurt from this, keep them aware that they are continually on your heart, that you watch over us as a nation, and we pray your blessing on those people for all they've been through. We pray that you would bless this nation and that this nation would make sure that you, Lord God, are our King. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to take a short break. Then we're going to come back and get into a little bit of a government teach, so don't go too far. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now, being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to, you can send us an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I have been receiving emails from listeners, which is super duper duper cool. Okay, if you're looking for a really good spiritual word, there it is. Super duper duper cool. Also, go to the website, davidspoonmedia.com. davidspoonmedia.com. I will let you know that. We will have a trivia question in just a second. Tomorrow, I am doing the next segment in the expository teaching on Ephesians. So for those that really like that, awesome. And for those that don't, I'm sorry.
You're forewarned.
Yeah. I mean, here's my response to that. Whoops. You know, I got nothing because we're going to do that. So Wonder Jelly was just telling me, this is why I love talking to her on the air, because we don't really know each other apart from the radio connection.
I push your buttons.
Yeah, that's... Wait a minute. So how come everybody pushes buttons and I'm the only one that's never pushing buttons? So the bottom line is, she was just telling me that she went to New York. You went to New York
on the 10-year anniversary.
So that was 8 years ago.
Yep. And they have a race the last Sunday of September every single year. It's called the Stephen Sillars Tunnel to Tower Run. He was a firefighter, and he was actually off that day, and he was on the Brooklyn side, and he stopped his truck, turned around to come to the towers, and they shut the tunnel down. So he got his pack out. He ran through the tunnel, which is like a mile and a half, 2 miles long, came out the other side, and he was picked up by another fire crew and made it back to the tunnels, ended up losing his life when they collapsed.
Wow.
And so his family set this race up for him. And so they do it every year, and thousands of people come. Firefighters come from all over the world to do this race, and they wear all of their firefighting gear because he carried his.
That is so awesome. So you did the race.
I did the race. It's a walk in a hero's footsteps. You go through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel as he did, and they were piping in music like God Bless the USA, and people were running through there, putting their fists up in the air saying, USA, USA. You come out the other side. There was 1,600 West Point cadets in uniform on one side of the street, each holding an American flag. The other side holding a banner with one of the people who had lost their lives.
Wow.
Amazing.
Very, very amazing. That's very, very powerful.
It was huge. It was.
I mean, there had to be a great sense, of good pride, of an appreciative type of pride, where it's like, yeah, like this is a great country. The Lord has blessed us.
Everyone, it was so
wow.
Well taken care of, and everybody got along. There was no arguments, no fighting. Everybody was riding on buses together. It was wonderful.
That is fantastic. That's what the power of unity really does do. People are quickly forget, but at the Tower of Babel, they were all united, and God said, well, anything they've put their minds together, they can do it. It's like, because once you are united and you get it going, it's amazing. You know, that is a powerful, powerful share. Thank you very much for sharing that.
No
problem. I appreciate that. I do want to talk about this next segment, because sometimes what we do is we, as believers, get into a bit of a scuffle. I'm not telling you that you should do this through the news, because I noticed that for 2 days I did not watch the news on purpose. My blood pressure went down, I think, 9 points. So that bothers me, because then 48 hours later, not a lot changed. Either on what they were reporting or anything else, except my blood pressure had the chance to go back up. So it's like, wait a minute, there has to be some wisdom in this, in all of this somewhere. But I have a title for something. You've never heard this title before. I promise you, as soon as you hear it, you're going to go, what is he talking about? He's lost his mind. Here it is. Here's this title, what I'm going to share. Ready? Ready? It actually has a title. It's called God Before Sod. Wait. God Before Sod. Now, for those that are sitting there trying to figure out what am I talking about, remember, Adam was made from the dirt, the clay, right? He was made from the clay. God breathed into him. God took the dirt, put it together. I don't know if he made a little stick figure kind of person, or if he made a little, you know, I don't know what he just put the dirt together, and he breathed on it, and it became life. But what I'm telling you right now is God Before Sod. Just remember that. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. The king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. One was named Sifra, and the other one was named Hua. And he said, when you're helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. If it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. There was a command from the government to kill these babies, and the midwives said no, because it's God before sod. And what people will do, let me just do this because I want to be honest, but people will quote Romans 13:1, every person is to be in subjection to the government authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. But what people do is they forget the balance of Scripture. You can't use one Scripture and just run away to the farm. You have to use other Scriptures to keep the balance. The best testimony about Scripture itself is Scripture itself. Acts 4:19, Peter and John answered them and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. God before sod. Get that? Here's the dealios. We are citizens of heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 says this, their mind is set on earthly things, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. Did you hear that? Our citizenship is in heaven. Just making a distinction between God and sod. I'm proud to be an American, happy to be American, blessed to be an American. I think I would argue people go, it's the greatest nation ever on earth, or the richest nation ever on earth. The argument I would have there would only be one line, and that is, in Solomon's time, silver was thought of as rocks. I don't know if we got to that place yet or not, but definitely a blessed nation, no question about it. But the first allegiance I have, the first allegiance you should have, is to heaven. In having conflict with our government, like if the government starts to tell you, you should abort children and you should do this and you should do this and all things that are contrary to scripture, we do not resist through violence. Let's make that clear. Our weapon is truth. My problem is the political stream has hypocrites on both sides. When Barack Obama was in charge, the Democrats would say you should listen to your leaders, and the Republicans would say, oh, it's a violation of what we believe. And now that Trump's in charge, you've got the Democrats saying, we're not going to listen to this leader. He's a violation of what we believe. And then you got Republicans saying, we should listen to our leaders. See, to me, that's all the malarkey that goes on. Stay away from that stuff. You follow God. What Jesus said exactly to Peter in regards to John. What is that to thee? Thou followest me. You follow me. That's your call. We know that resistance is not wrong. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow to a statue that the government and Nebuchadnezzar had required them to bow to. They would not compromise their faith, but they did not respond to the king by trying to get rid of him. They just stood their ground in their faith. Our weapon is truth. Our weapon is our relationship with the Lord. Our weapon is the reasoning and the power that God gives us by the Holy Spirit. All right? So I want you to understand, if it makes me radical to be a person who says citizen of heaven first, tough. If I was, and I said this before, somebody got mad about this. If I was born in Canada, first of all, I'd use the word biffy. Second, I would still want to be a Christian, and that would be the priority of my life, because the Christian position is more important than any patriotic position. You have to understand it. That's why even in this station, God, country, Texas, right? What's first? God. God before sod. Okay, get that? All right. So you don't have to do what the government says when they're telling you to do something contrary to the word, but your resistance level is not to be somebody who's seeking to create destruction. In fact, if you and I would utilize the power of prayer more, we'd watch God be more active. And then what do? They take God out of the public square, and they take him out of this, and they take him, and then try and replace him, and now they're trying to protect Satanism, and it's just like you're looking at this thing going, this is a mess, right? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's what we're looking for. And that's why, you know, when you're I don't care what you vote with the Bible in mind. That's it. How about that? Just use Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. See who lines up the most. Go that direction. That's called wisdom. Okay? All right. God before sod. You have to love that. I do. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. When we come back, I'm going to talk about Jacob's prayer. Don't go anywhere.
Snap, crackle, pop. That's not just an old cereal reference. That's the sound our bodies make when they're out of whack. Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, owner of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson, is here to help. If you're experiencing pain from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's time for a checkup, a chiropractic checkup. Reach out to Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, for an evaluation. Less pain is a good thing. Are you suffering from a chronic condition that's not improving? You can call him at 972-454-9362. That's 972-454-9362. Or go directly to his website and schedule an appointment, drbrandonbrown.com. That's drbrandonbrown.com. If you tell him that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, you might even get a lollipop. It feels good to feel good. Connect with the chiropractic doctor extraordinaire, Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Go to drbrandonbrown.com. Get hope, get well, live well, get to feeling groovy again.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressmen's gay son was going to come on their show and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father, who does not change his Christian convictions, will not change them. Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
Fact, Medicare is a national health insurance program. Fact, Medicare can be confusing and doesn't always provide enough coverage for seniors' needs. The answer is the Benefit Link. This is a zero-cost service that helps seniors navigate their Medicare options by providing objective advice and personal support. Fact, for no cost, the Benefit Link has advocates available on a direct basis every day who are ready to help you. Call 972-BENEFIT. That's 972-BENEFIT. Or go to thebenefitlink.com. That's thebenefitlink.com. The Benefit Link is passionate about providing peace of mind. Fact, this is great for you, so act now.
David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you go to livinginhisgrip.com, you can get some of the music that we do on the show for free. I mean, free. That's a good price. Let me check it. Free. Free. Good price. Livinginhisgrip.com. And you can download some songs. The Sife is Sate. That was a Spoonerism. The safe is sate. Instead of saying the safe is sight, I just can't talk. Okay, got that. Anyway, you're welcome to go there, download the music. It's under the Him Project. Not him and her. Him as in, yeah, that kind of him. All right. DavidSpoonMedia@gmail.com. Website, DavidSpoonMedia.com. I like shows like today because you don't really know what we're going to do, and it kind of just bounces around and never know. By the way, Wonder Drew, I'm going to let you know I went to the doctor today and had blood work done. Have you had blood work? Is that fun?
Not really.
Okay. I thought it was bad when they stuck you with the needle, but apparently when they stick you with the bill, it's worse.
Ouch.
$149.95 for them to let me know in a couple of days how soon they think they're going to be able to collect my life insurance or something along those lines, because I haven't quite figured it out. But I did figure this out. They gave me a pill. I'm going to be honest. They gave me a pill for my cholesterol, right? Because one too many Jack in the Box. one too many stops at the old Jack in the Box. Right. So they said, Dave, it's a little high. I mean, I exercise a lot. So just to give you an idea, I mean, I run. When I run, I go like 3 miles. I lift weights. I mean, I'm doing big weights. It's not light or anything like that. But I eat terrible. So they gave me this pill. And the doctor tells me today for the first time, because I hadn't heard this before, well, we're going to take a blood test and check out where it's at. I'm like, cool. He goes, and we want to check your liver. And I'm like, okay, was there a problem with my liver before? He goes, nope. He goes, totally fantastic. I'm like, great. Why are you checking my liver? He said, because the medicine you're taking can affect your liver.
Great.
And I'm like, what? And it's like, yeah, the medicine you take can affect your liver. I was like, okay, so I have this eyelash problem, so take this medicine. Your leg might fall off. But I don't get that. How does that, does that seem normal to you? That doesn't seem normal to me. So anyway, that and $149.95 later. That's with insurance, by the way. It's amazing. What are they charge us? It's like they pull out Dracula from the Transylvania or something. They charge so much money just to find out. Anyway, I thought that was kind of fascinating. So just again, want to thank Wonder Dewey for sharing her story. That's kind of cool. And the whole point about this is, you know, I'm not an anti-government guy. I'm actually a very, very pro-American guy, okay? So just so you can know. And I'm very, very much proud to be a part of our nation. I'm very discouraged watching some of the leadership go down these morality holes that seem to are endless. And that bothers me because it's in my generation. And it bugs me. It's like, I don't want these guys to do that stuff. I don't want these gals to do that stuff. I want our leaders, when they're done leading, I want it to be better than when it started, not worse. So when you have a memorial like this 18-year memorial, a memorial is supposed to be a good thing. You're not just supposed to sit there and dwell in it and your life doesn't exist. You remember. You respect the memory of the things that took place, and you learn the lessons that God gave us through that process. That's all good stuff. So you want to do it in a healthy way. By the way, memorials have been going on for quite some time, since early in Genesis, just to let you know. So you're supposed to remember. So to that I say amen. And again, you know, I mean, if you didn't shed a tear when America beat Russia in 1980 for the hockey, you do need help. You need to check your pulse. That was like the great moment. It's like one of the greatest sports upset ever. And they beat those guys. Incredible. Anyway, just see, what is it called? Miracle, right? Isn't that the movie? It's called Miracle with, you didn't see it, did you?
No.
Don't talk to me. Okay. here's our trivia question. Ready? What psalm did Jesus speak just before his actual death? He's on the cross. He's just about to pass into the next region where he's going to take full control. Just before he goes, he's quoting something, saying something. What psalm was it? Challenging. What psalm was it? 972-445-0770. Let me talk about Jacob's prayer. Genesis 32, 9 through 11. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and your relatives and I will prosper you. I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and all the faithfulness which you have shown your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have two companies that I'm returning with. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. This is Jacob's prayer. I like this prayer because he does a couple of things that are kind of awesome. First of all, he says, oh God. I don't think it was overly religious. I think it was like, oh God, as in, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, kind of mentality where you're calling out to the Lord. But he identifies himself as a grandchild of Abraham, a child of Isaac. The family heritage had strong faith, and faith is passed on from the parents to the children if you teach your children about the Lord. He talks about returning to the country and his relatives and that the Lord's going to prosper him. He left with only a stick, and he came back with two companies. He had lots of cattle. He had two full families going on. He had children. He had wives. He was doing great, and he says this. So he's doing great. It's not like he's doing bad, but he's getting ready to meet Esau, and if you remember, he kind of bamboozled Esau out of his earnings. And he told the Lord, honestly, he said, I fear him. Now, after we take our caller, I'm going to address it because he said, I'm afraid of Esau, God. A real moment of honesty in his prayer. All right, hang on. Okie dokie, who am I talking to?
This is Valerie.
Hi, Valerie. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay, that is good. I'm glad to hear it. All right, are you ready? You think you're ready for this one? You feel confident? Feel good about this?
Well, I'm guessing, but it's a good confidence guess.
I love that. It's a good confident guess. All right, what psalm did Jesus speak just before his actual death as he was speaking on the cross, last few things he said? What psalm was that?
Was it Psalms 22?
That is correct, ma'am. You are right.
Okay.
You are right. Good job. You are right on target. Did you have an inclination, but then we're like, I hope that's right?
Well, kind of. It's because I had just got through doing a week of that Psalms, because it's a long chapter. Well, it was kind of lengthy.
Yeah.
And so I did it for 1 week, and it was just really him on the cross.
Yeah, he said in the very first verse in 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? The exact same thing Jesus said when he was on the cross. So that is exactly correct.
Okay, well, great. Well, thank you.
You are welcome. What a great job. Thank you, ma'am, so much.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, folks. See, good job. And she was just studying that psalm. See? Lord's like, yeah, we'll seal that in. Nobody's going to forget this. I love it. But keep in mind, when we're giving stuff away, like I had somebody call me and say, yeah, I thought you were going to give me stuff, and I want to, and as we grow, we will. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd give everybody $1,000 every time they call. The only problem is I don't have $1,000 to give everybody every time they call. I'm still working on the sponsors. In fact, the owner of the station is like, I want my $1,000. So it kind of goes the other way. Great job on that one. And oh, by the way, I will say, Elijah called. Remember the gentleman who won the other day?
Yeah.
He called, and we talked on the phone for a minute. He was a great guy, great spirit. And I tell him, oh, yeah, that wasn't a prizey one. So I don't know, because I guess we should probably announce it or something, because sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It's hit and miss. That makes it interesting. Okay, let's finish off then on Jacob's prayer. Jacob, doing good. Things are great. And I'll tell you in the next two minutes, I think I got 2 minutes or 3 minutes left, here's basically what he's saying. Things are good. You're really good to me. I love you. Guess what? I'm afraid of my brother. You're great. I'm unworthy. You're faithful and kind. Please deliver me. I fear him. I'm being honest. And I think what happens is it's easy to get, and my wife and I do this when we're praying. So you're praying, and like if you pray for the kids, right, you got to pray for the grandkids. It's like this is a requirement. You can't just pray for the kids and then not pray for your grandkids. You get in trouble. Well, somewhere you get in trouble. And then you'll pray for something, you got to add this on. Oh, don't forget about this person. So if I pray for my brother, then I have to pray for her sister. You see how that's how that kind of thing works. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But it's even better when my wife and I get together and pray and say, we don't know what we're supposed to do about this. Or this situation is bigger than us, and we need your help figuring it out. Or we need that five loaves and two fish to turn into 50 loaves and 20 fish. That's honest. And let me tell you something. If you're praying to God and you're thinking that by saying something in a religious way, it's going to, that will impress him, you're wrong. What will impress him is you just being you with him. You being the creation, being who you are, honestly are with the creator, is the best thing ever. So if you're having a hard time with something, and I don't care what area it is, like, I'm going to say this really fast. I don't care if you're dealing with any kind of substance abuse. I don't care if it's sex. I don't care if it's relationships. I don't care if it's money. I don't care what it is. God knows what it is. Talk to him. Tell him. Share your heart with God. There is no greater place in all the universe to bear your heart and be fully forward and transparent than there is just talking to God. The best friend you'll ever have, best dad you can ever imagine. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake Money, or No-So Money, is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Do you think it's been organizational leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, you know, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip. And in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David, alone, I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone, the question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question is, will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's, and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You want to reach us? Do reach us. I'm going to go for the Golden Globe nomination of Worst Introductions Ever. I'm going to win hands down. DavidSpoonMedia@gmail.com. DavidSpoonMedia.com is the website. Don't forget, if you ever feel like donating, if we take any money that we get in, we're using strictly to help us pay the bill for what we're paying, because I can't keep selling dogs. No, that's a joke. I would never sell my dog. If I had a cat, okay, I'm kidding. If I had a bird, all right, never mind. That joke died when it started. It was nice enough for Wonder Julie to remind me that I will also get a lab bill for my blood work. Thanks, Wonder Julie. Way to put that spark in my day. That's right. Here's a controversial teaching, as though some of the teachings we do are not controversial. You may have heard this. I don't know if you've heard this or not before. I want to take this out of Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. One of my least favorite characters in the Bible, because I went through an experience of being under somebody like this. It's about Laban. Ooh, Laban. Not my favorite guy. Genesis 30, 27, Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." This is referring to Jacob and Laban wanting Jacob to hang out. And Laban doesn't even hide it. Hey, you know what I found out? What's that, Laban? I found out that God is blessing me because of you. That's what he said to Jacob. Even though he was cheating Jacob and had really just deceived him and kind of does, he realized, Laban was smart enough to figure out, even through divination, not supporting divination. We don't support divination. Divination is bad, bad, bad. Witchcraft, bad, 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 bad. But he learned through that, bad, 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 God was still blessing him because of Jacob. This is what I want to talk about. The Lord's blessing. Watch this. This is what I want to tell you. Not that you are an heir to the blessing where everything you ever do will turn to gold because your second name is Midas. Okay? Okay, stop doing that. Right? To become like Christ, that's the greatest blessing there is. But the Lord will bless you, and he will use that blessing on you to bless other people too. Whenever we've had a little extra, not even say a little extra, but whenever we've had extra, that it is not a time where we would hesitate to try and give that much more or be that much more of a blessing to somebody that typically wouldn't get it in our universe, because we want to pour that out and give that back. Sometimes the blessing comes to us directly. Sometimes a blessing from God comes to us indirectly. But the key component is that same blessing God uses to bless others. Now, why is that important? That explains, from the human point of view, why connections and relationships and fellowships and gatherings are important. It's impossible to be a loner Christian and fulfill the desires of God in loving other people. You can't be all alone on your own self-created island and fulfill the commandment of loving your neighbor when you shut all contact off with all your neighbors. You can't. How do you do it? You can't do it. And the Lord doesn't want you to do it. In fact, he wants you to take that which you have and be infectious with it and touch other people with it. And the Lord will bless you, watch this, so that you can be a blessing. Zechariah 8, 12, and 13 talk about the people of God being blessed and a source of blessing. The problem is every time we hear the word blessed, you hear Benny Hinn, you hear prosperity gospel, and even, I mean, listen, the guy said he's sorry he did that. Anybody says they're sorry for something, you got to acknowledge that. But then, and people say, well, he should do this or he should do this. Hey, you know what? The first thing is you say you're sorry. That's step number one. We'll let the Holy Spirit deal with the rest. Bottom line is God will bless you. It's not always financial. Sometimes it's just encouraging. Sometimes you wake up and you're in a really good mood. And your really good mood, if you connect with somebody else, will help them be in a good mood. And that good mood helps. And you think, well, how's that possible? Well, could simply be the joy of the Lord that's on you at the moment. And then you're just contacting with somebody. And then that joy of the Lord that was in you and on you kind of does a little bit of a drip on somebody else. Isn't that cool? I will tell you that I've had financial blessings and spiritual blessings. Okay, I'll tell you this one story. Do you want to hear one of the most amazing blessings? So at one point in my life, we'll get into this down the road. At one point in my life, I literally had to escape from a situation and put my family in the car and drove away, flew away actually, then drove away in the middle of the night. That's how bad it was. There was a church in Gunnison, Colorado, an Assembly of God church. I went to that church and we didn't have anything with me. I didn't have any money, didn't have any, just like kind of just going with the clothes on the back kind of mentality. And the preacher was preaching. And it's a good old-fashioned Assembly of God. If you've been to a good Assembly of God, they have really good worship. And a lot of times the preachers get into it. You know, I'm not into the yeah, okay? That's not what I'm into. But I love people that preach and that love preaching and teaching, and I just think it's great. Guy's preaching a message, and I'm sitting there praying. This happened to me. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I'll ever be in ministry again or if I'll ever teach again. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm fearful for my life. I don't even know what's going to go on. I hope I can just get to a place and get my family safe and everything's okay. I just finished praying. The preacher's preaching. He stops in the middle of his sermon. Have you ever noticed that preachers never stop in the middle of their sermon? If you've one thing you should know by now, preachers never shut up, right? I mean, that's just their gift. Stops in the middle of the sermon. He had never seen me before. I was visiting. He had no idea who I was. He points to me right in the middle of the service, in the middle of his sermon. And he said, "Son, God wants you to know that you will teach again." I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. And then 1 second later, he goes on back to his sermon. And he's just like, goes back to preaching when he was. Changed my life. That's the blessing of the Lord. That blessing that guy gave unto me, that confidence, that moment, that obedience is something that the Lord has utilized for me to have an opportunity to teach and to witness and to preach to thousands and thousands of people. One moment. Dripped on me by an obedient man of God altered my direction. That blessing then became a blessing for others. Just, he stopped in the middle of a sermon. I don't think you guys are getting that. You don't stop in the middle of a sermon and do that. It never happens. Come on. It happened. That was God's way of saying, I know where you're at. I know what's going on. I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through. I'm going to help you. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, is that just not the most amazing? It's so amazing. It's not always money. Sometimes it's just the heart of God going, hey, I love you. I got you covered. Like, cool. Good. Now just give me a transporter so I don't have to go through traffic and I'll be doing fantastic. That's how I talk to the Lord. Sorry. All right, folks, think about it. Let it resonate with you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Sometimes gently singing.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.